The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Yeah, good afternoon on this Wednesday afternoon. How are you? If you want to contact the programme, 51551, if it's a longer correspondence, we'd be glad to get your emails to ray@rte.ie. At the end of the programme yesterday, we spoke to Andrew Stewart. Andrew Stewart is a journalist who has returned home to his hometown of Llandudno in Wales. And he was sitting in his parents' pub at midnight one night and he heard the clatter of hooves on tarmac. And he looked out the window and there was a herd of mountain goats running wild in Llandudno. Well, it's got loads of coverage all over the place. I'm looking at the Guardian here and there they are pictured. They seem to be exercising social distancing, those goats do, on the front of it. And then they do a sort of a humorous piece in The Guardian about the goats of Llandudno. And they quote the special song, "This town is coming like a goat's town, get it? All the clubs have been closed down. Just don't call it a nanny state. And who are you going to call? Yes, you got it. Goat Busters." Anyway, that was fun. Andrew Stewart yesterday. Loads of emails in to ray@rte.ie and keep them coming in. Tell us how you're entertaining yourself and how you're helping others and how you're helping frontline workers. Please do. ray@rte.ie. Trisha and Sonny Veerapan have been on to us from Tauranga in New Zealand. They listen on playback. Living here for the last 6 years, working as a nurse and my husband as a doctor in the health service here in New Zealand. We are both acutely aware of the impact this virus is having on the world. We have been lucky so far and the impact on us as frontline workers has been minimal. Both my husband and I just want to say hello to all our colleagues with whom we worked with in TUH, Tala University Hospital. Carry on the good fight and we applaud you all for putting your lives on hold and your health and the health of your families at risk to help those around you. Stay safe to one and all, missing our families and friends in County Clare and beyond. That's Trisha and Sonny Veerapan down in Tauranga in New Zealand. And who's Mary has been on to us, Mary Bennett. She says, "I'm currently working from home, so I'm able to listen to you. A scary time for everyone, especially if you have cancer, but we must have lightness and fun as well. Daffodil Day was cancelled this year." It was indeed. "And a lot of people around the country are doing things to raise funds for the Irish Cancer Society, as is Mary Bennett." So she is posting this photo of her on a bike in a clown outfit. Just to show you how daft, see, daft I am. "I'd love if people would text Daffodil to 50300 to donate €4 to the Irish Cancer Society. Let's put a smile on each other's face. Post a fun photo and send this message on to your contacts," suggests Mary Bennett. Liz Gavigan, how you doing, Liz? And Jim. And they say, "We would love to say happy 11th birthday to our fantastic granddaughter, Anya. Anya Brennan from Collinstown, County Westmeath. She's 11 on April 1st. It's so awful we can't be there for her birthday party. She's one of our 15 brilliant grandchildren and we miss seeing them so much. All our love, Nanny Liz and Grandad Jim." Happy birthday, Anya. And Sive has been on to us. "My name is Sive. I'm 12 years old and I love to play camogie and football with Scoil E. Cunnell. But because of recent events, all the training is cancelled." It's the same story all over the countryside. "Tonight, my coach, Dave Daly, is hosting a quiz over Zoom. And it would be really great if you could give a shout out to the under 11 and under 12 girls. We are really missing each other and our coaches. So when Dave announced he was holding a quiz on Zoom tonight for all the girls and boys and parents, I was so excited. So we have been asked to sign into Zoom at 7 o'clock with one child and one parent on each team. We've also been asked to have a piece of paper and a pen ready because we have to send a picture of the answers in after each round. I guess that's so nobody cheats. A great way to stay in touch," says Sive, "with our teammates and a great idea by our coach, Dave Daly. Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. I'll let you know how we get on tomorrow, but it might be nice to share this idea with other football teams. We have 40 girls on our panel and we want to thank Dave Daly for thinking about us. There is no I in team and we're all in this together." That's from Sive, age 12. Thanks so much, Sive, for that. And let us know how you get on the quiz tomorrow. And speaking of quiz, the All-Ireland quiz continues today. Tyrone, County Tyrone, takes on County Carlow. So it's Leinster v Ulster. And if you live or were born in either Tyrone or Carlow and you want to be involved in our general knowledge quiz, 5 questions each after 4 o'clock, and fly the flag for your county, 1850 715 900. 1850 715 900. And Maeve is awaiting your call now. 1850 715 900. Tyrone and Carlo today. Mark from Finglas has been on. He says, I'm celebrating my 50th birthday today. Please say hi to my mum and dad, Lily and Martin, and my wonderful sister Maria. I can't see them today, but I couldn't have asked for a better family and extended family. It'll be a quiet day listening to the radio, doing a few bits at home on my day off. Happy birthday, Mark. Happy 50th birthday. Life begins at 50, doesn't it now? Circumstances would not have meant normally that I'd be listening to your eclectic and diverse radio show, but such is the strange world we live in now. Declan, you make it sound like something weird. Anyway, we all need to be safe, positive and buoyant. Here is an alternative to the social distancing term that some people don't like. Friendly furthering. That's what Declan suggests. Friendly furthering. Could you send my love to my beautiful wife Lillian, my daughter and son-in-law to be Stephanie and Rebord. Wedding. They're having the wedding in May. That's in the future. And my son Keith and his girlfriend Mina in Bangkok. That's from Declan. Great. Now, I read this piece today in the Irish Times, and it's written by an Italian writer, Francesca Melandri. And she wrote it as a letter to fellow Europeans from your future. So she has been on lockdown in Rome for almost 3 weeks due to the COVID-19 outbreak. And she wants to share her experience of life in lockdown with the rest of Europe, because we're behind them. So she's talking to us from our future. It's a lovely piece. Take me a few minutes. Bear with me. I need a bit of music behind me on this one, because it's a long old read, so I can bring up the music if there are gaps and I need to take a breath. Here we go. Right. I'm writing to you from Italy, which means I'm writing from your future. We are now where you will be in a few days. The epidemic's charts show us all entwined in a parallel dance. We are but a few steps ahead of you in the path of time, just like Wuhan was a few weeks ahead of us. We watch you as you behave just as we did. You hold the same arguments we did until a short time ago, between those who say, it's only a flu, why all the fuss, and those who have already understood. As we watch you from here, from your future, we know that many of you, as you were told to lock yourselves up into your homes, quoted Orwell, some even Hobbes, but soon you'll be too busy for that. First of all, you'll eat. You'll find dozens of social networking groups with tutorials on how to spend your free time in fruitful ways. You'll join them all, then ignore them completely after a few days. You'll pull apocalyptic literature out of your bookshelves, but will soon find you don't really feel like reading any of it. You'll eat again. You won't sleep well. You'll ask yourselves, what's happening to democracy? You'll have an unstoppable online social life on Messenger, WhatsApp, Skype, Zoom. You'll miss your adult children like you never have before. The realization that you've no idea when you will ever see them again will hit you like a punch in the chest. Old resentments and falling outs will seem irrelevant. You'll call people you had sworn never to talk to ever again, so as to ask them, how are you doing? Many women will be beaten in their homes. You'll wonder what is happening to all those who can't stay home because they don't have one. You'll feel vulnerable when going out shopping in the deserted streets, especially if you're a woman. You'll ask yourself if this is how societies collapse. Does it really happen so fast? You'll block out those thoughts, and when you get back home, you'll eat again. You'll put on weight. You'll look for online fitness training. You'll laugh. You'll laugh a lot. You'll flaunt a gallows humour you never had before. Even people who've always taken everything dead seriously will contemplate the absurdity of life, of the universe, and of it all. You'll make appointments in the supermarket queues with your friends and lovers so as to briefly see them in person, all the while abiding by the social distancing rules. You'll count all the things you don't need. The true nature of people around you will be revealed with total clarity. You'll have confirmations and surprises. Literati who had been omnipresent in the news will disappear, their opinions suddenly irrelevant. Some will take refuge in rationalisations which will be so totally lacking in empathy that people will stop listening to them. People whom you had overlooked instead will turn out to be reassuring, generous, reliable, pragmatic and clairvoyant. Those who invite you to see all this mess as an opportunity for planetary renewal will help you to put things in a larger perspective – You'll also find them terribly annoying. Nice, the planet is breathing better because of the half CO2 emissions, but how will you pay your bills next month? You'll not understand if witnessing the birth of a new world is more a grandiose or a miserable affair. You'll play music from your windows and lawns. When you saw us singing opera from our balconies, you thought, ah, those Italians. But we know you'll sing uplifting songs to each other too. And when you blast I Will Survive from your windows, we'll watch you and nod, just like the people of Wuhan who sung from their windows in February, nodded while watching us. Many of us will fall asleep, vowing that the very first thing you'll do as soon as lockdown is over is file for divorce. Many children will be conceived. Your children will be schooled online. They'll be horrible nuisances. They'll give you joy. Elderly people will disobey you like rowdy teenagers. You'll have to fight with them in order to forbid them from going out to get infected and die. You'll try not to think about the lonely deaths inside the ICU. You'll want to cover with rose petals all medical worker steps. You'll be told that society is united in a communal effort, that you're all in the same boat. It will be true. This experience will change for good how we perceive ourselves as individuals, as part of a larger whole. Class, however, will make all the difference. Being locked up in a house with a pretty garden or in an overcrowded housing project will not be the same. Nor is being able to keep on working from home or seeing your job disappear. The boat in which you'll be sailing in order to defeat the epidemic will not look the same to everyone. Nor is it actually the same for everyone. It never was. At some point, you'll realise it's tough. You'll be afraid. You'll share your fear with your dear ones, or you'll keep it to yourselves so as not to burden them with it too. You'll eat again. We're in Italy, and this is what we know about your future. But it's just small-scale fortune-telling. We are very low-key seers. If we turn our gaze to the more distant future, the future which is unknown both to you and to us too, we can only tell you this. When all of this is over, the world won't be the same. That's nice, isn't it? There's a lot in there. Francesca Melandri. And you can read it online on the Irish Times there if you want to read that again at your leisure. I hope I did it justice. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Good afternoon. Him. She and Him. I might play Johnny Cash's version of that at some stage in the future. Lovely version as well. And We'll Meet Again. Read that letter yesterday from the lady from Italy, and I'm eating a Toblerone that I found in a cupboard. I'm cleaning out, and everything she says is true, says Maura O'Brien. 50 years married today, Mona and Jim. Congratulations from Paddy and Mary Houghton. And I'm a cocooned granny missing the kids like thousands of others. Can you suggest interactive games I could play online with them to keep in touch? I'm talking 8 to 10-year-olds, nothing too complicated to set up because I'm old. Thanks in advance, Cork Granny. Well, we had Canuck on the other day, and she wrote a book called Red Rover, Games from the Past, or something like that. And she was saying, you know, like Hangman, for example, you can play that on FaceTime, Cork Granny, and they can show you the thing and you can suggest vowels and consonants and all that and have a bit of crack on it. That's one of the things. But if anybody else has any other ideas of interactive games you can play with 8 to 10-year-olds online, not too complicated, for Cork Granny, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. A few years ago, you launched a book, Up or Jump or something, can't quite recall. Anyway, people had to submit a photo on a particular day. It would be such a great idea to do this again and donate funds to different causes nominated by our healthcare workers, says Julie. Julie, it was us, and we did it in 2005, 2010. Great idea. And we're thinking about doing it with video now because things have changed and everybody has the capability and the technology to shoot video on their phones. And a lot of people do it all the time. And we were thinking that maybe in the future we might have a day where everybody in the country shoots themselves on video doing whatever they're doing. And we collate it, hours and hours and hours of footage, and then in some way edit it down to make sense of it. And show ourselves as ourselves on a particular day, in a particular year, in a particular decade, in a particular century. And that's what it's about. It's sort of a gathering up of social history. But yeah, we're in talks with people, and it's early days, but we'll see what happens. 51551@RTE.ie. What are you trying to do to us? How beautiful was that letter and song in one very big, bittersweet way. Hello, everyone. Hope you're all keeping well. And if you're hurting your partner or child at this time, stop it. Just stop it. Be a better person, please. Thanks for all the lovely radio. Yeah, well, unfortunately, the people who were doing that sort of thing don't listen to you or me. And despite the fact that we would plead with them not to do what they're doing, they'll continue to do it, unfortunately. 51551@RTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Oh, there we are. We're back. Sorry. Monopoly is great online through FaceTime. Transactions go through the banks. So if a player is paying rent to another player, they pay it to the bank and the other player takes it out of their bank, if that makes sense. Doesn't really. But it probably makes sense to some people, Susan. Thanks very much. Lindsay wants to know the name of that. Francesca Melandri is the name of that Italian writer who wrote that piece. M-E-L-A-N-D-R-I, Francesca Melandri. And I think she wrote it initially for The Guardian and the Irish Times picked it up overnight. Now, as we get used to all this new normal or new reality, we've been checking in with some friends of the show over the last few days. And today it's the turn of David Norris. How are you doing, David?
I'm absolutely splendid, and I hope that you're keeping yourself safe and well and cocooned.
I am. Is it okay that we call you a friend of the show? Is that okay?
Oh, absolutely. I'm a big fan, Ray.
Yes.
Absolutely, and I listen to you all the time.
Ah, you do, yeah. Right. Now, before we get talking about your new normal and all that.
Can I just say it was wonderful to hear that marvellous Vera Lynn song from the last war, and it brought back to me the feeling that it's like the Blitz. It will bring out the best in people. There's a real sense of neighborliness. I mean, I can't tell you the number of kind things that have happened. My niece Margaret turned up with a huge bunch of daffodils for me from her garden.
Lovely.
And she stood out in the road and I shouted at her, all the neighbors heard. A young man, I got some coal last week and it was very heavy. And a young man who's only just a couple of months in an apartment across the street, up on the top of the house, he came running down and lifted them in for me. It was
great.
So kind.
Great.
I didn't even know him.
Yes.
My election agent, Brian Murray, has been fantastic stocking my fridge. My doctor, John Burbridge, came down with some stuff yesterday. Everybody is so extraordinarily kind. So I think it's bringing out the very best in people.
It is. You probably were keeping away from people anyway before Leo Varadkar announced cocooning on Friday evening.
Well, I was, because I always like to go for the jackpot. You know, when they found out I had diabetes, it was supposed to be level 6. I was 27, and I thought, wow, I don't do anything by halves. And I'm actually in 3 at-risk categories.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm 75,
right,
which is old.
Ka-ching. Right, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm a transplant survivor.
Ka-ching.
So I'm on immunosuppressant drugs.
Yes.
And I have diabetes.
Ka-ching.
So I really hit the jackpot again.
So you're staying out of people's way. Open to,
There are two wonderful things about it. First of all, I'm used to living on my own. Mm. And, as I told your researcher, I'm very good company. And secondly, I have a very big house.
Yes.
So I can actually go for a walk in the house. I mean, it's a mountain climb to get up to bed.
Yeah. So you're walking up and down the stairs, are you? Looking at all the portraits of yourself.
Yes, there's about 20 of them now. They are lovely, but people give them to me. And I don't know where to put the bloody things. And when I'm dead, people are going to say, well, we always knew he was an egomaniac, but this is the end altogether.
So it's a big week for you, isn't it? The Shannon results are coming out as we speak.
As we speak, my agent Brian has just been on to me to tell me that I topped the poll.
Congratulations.
And I'm just 100 off the quota, so I'll be elected in the next half hour or so. I'd like to say I'm very, very grateful to the people who stayed loyal to me, because I still have things I want to do in the Senate. I'm just very grateful to be elected, because I thought people might say, well, he's been in a long time.
How long is a long time, David? How long have you been in?
33 years.
Right, and how many terms in office is that? How many times have you been elected?
I don't know.
No, lost count.
It's a long number, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So another 5 years, then?
Well, I hope so. I hope so, and then I will be gone.
You retire.
I want to be able to enjoy myself while I'm still young. I want to be 80.
I was having this chat last night with my wife, right? And
yes,
she feels a little bit put out on behalf of people over 70. She feels that there's a little bit of condescension going around and patronising.
Oh, I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
No.
But your wife isn't over 70.
No, she's not. She's indignant on your behalf.
Well, that's awfully kind of her.
Yes.
But I don't feel patronised at
all.
Do you
not? Okay, great.
No, I don't. And I tell you this, we are so lucky in the people we have in power.
Mm.
I mean, I think Leo Varadkar has played it absolutely magnificently. Pascal Donoghue, Simon Harris, Diamond Coveney, they are a really remarkable team.
Mm.
And we're lucky to have them.
We are lucky to have them. Now, everybody's saying it, I'm sure you would agree, that this is the strangest thing that's happened in your lifetime.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It is quite extraordinary. And no, I think people didn't take on board the reality of the thing in the beginning. Certainly the British didn't, and the Americans still haven't. I mean, that nincompoop Trump.
Yeah.
You know, saying, oh, well, I'm not going to talk to the governors if they're not nice to me. I mean, so how babyish.
It's like a big child, yeah. He is like a big child.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think when you see empty streets, it brings it all home, doesn't it? Because it's just...
Yeah, well, what I notice is the absolute silence.
Mm.
There's no traffic. There's no lorries or cars or pedestrians, you know, so it's absolutely silent.
I saw a piece...
And you know what I feel really sorry for?
Go on.
I feel really... My heart goes out to the homeless. And because, you know, being cooped up in this sort of way, and for children who are in a hotel room and not allowed out and this sort of business, it must be terrible.
Horrific. Horrific.
And the poor, unfortunate people who are still trying to sleep on the streets and everything. It's a tragic situation for them.
You said yourself that you're used to living on your own. So you have the coping mechanisms, do you? You have the resilience.
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. And I really wasn't joking when I said I'm good company.
Yes, no, I know, with yourself, yes, yeah.
But can I tell you this? One of the lovely things, I think people should start writing letters. And I mean handwritten letters. I mean, there's nothing to compare with getting a handwritten letter from somebody that you're fond of, to see the handwriting on the envelope and so on. I have a wonderful friend for many decades. She's now living up in Donegal, Wendy Donaghy. And I sent her a little message saying I hope she was all right and all this kind of stuff. I got the most beautiful card from her today. Really lovely, handwritten, a beautiful picture of a waterfall in Glen Carr, and telling me about the walks she goes on, and her husband who is just 90, and all this. It was lovely to read it.
Yeah, so you recommend that people write letters again. That's
a
good
suggestion.
Yeah,
I think so. I think that could be the beginning of a new civilization. And the other thing is, I really, really think that there's going to be a financial catastrophe after this. And it is another opportunity. We missed the last one. It's another opportunity to reorganize things economically and get rid of this kind of toxic vulture capitalism that's been going around, where vulture funds bought in. They didn't pay tax at all on the profits they made for evicting Irish people.
Yeah.
It's disgraceful. It should never have been allowed to happen.
Yeah, a lot of people are predicting a new world order, but we've short memories, you know, and you know, it looks to me like after the crash, and we thought that things were going to change forever, that things are back to the way they were before the crash. We didn't learn much.
Yeah, but this is a much bigger thing.
Is
this
it?
Is a much, much bigger thing. I've never known anything like it. Never. Never, never, never.
And David, the fact
You know, the word crisis in Greek, as I understand it, actually means opportunity.
Right.
So this crisis is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to develop community, to develop neighbourliness, to hang on to these qualities which you've exhibited so magnificently during this period, to hang on to those, and also to readjust things. I mean, everybody's talking about the health service, and I was delighted when they gave them a round of applause. Well, I have a friend who's a nursing attendant in one of the big Dublin hospitals, and they're not even feeding them. You know, they have to bring in their own food. But that may be necessary.
But after this
is over, we're going to have to say to these people who work in the front lines and who worked so heroically, we're going to have to say, we're going to have to compensate you properly. I mean, the kind of wages they're on, they're not appropriate. We really should look after the nursing and medical sector and give them proper pay commensurate with the wonderful work they do for the community.
Yes, indeed. It's I would like to think that that's going to happen. I just don't know if it will. But I would like to think it will. Are you optimistic?
Well, I hope it will. And the new Senate, I can assure you, we won't be found wanting in the political debate that's going to go on. It will be difficult. I will have to go in on the first day because as father of the house, I have to chair the proceedings. And make a short speech and so on and so forth. But I presume there will be distancing and so on.
And when would that day be? When is that planned for?
Well, it can't happen until a government is formed.
Right, so it's a good bit in the future then.
Because they have to have the Taoiseach's 11 nominated. But I really wish the Greens would get off their backsides and get into government. This is their opportunity.
Well, I think
they're really letting the country down.
Well, I get a sense now, to be fair, David, things have overtaken government formation for the moment. I think they have. Back to your personal situation. Do you see this as an opportunity because you've time, you're not allowed out and all that sort of thing? Are you doing anything around the house? Are you decluttering or anything?
I'm just roasting a chicken.
How do you roast it? Just straightforward, or do you stuff it with anything? Or no?
I don't know. I didn't because I didn't have any bread.
Right.
But, okay. For the first hour, I wrap it in tin foil to keep the juices in.
Right.
And then I give it a good roasting, and I smear it with butter and I pepper. I salt as well.
Good seasoning,
Brown up the skin nicely.
Yes, nice crispy skin. And what will you have? What will you have with that now?
Potatoes, carrots and peas.
Nice. Traditional.
Yes,
traditional. Yes. Will you roast the potatoes or is that too much bother?
Well, no, because they're new potatoes.
It wouldn't be nice. No. It wouldn't be nice. Yeah.
And I put in an onion with the potatoes.
Nice,
because onions are frightfully good for you.
They are, and garlic.
My aunt, who is a very wise woman, and she lived to 103, and I absolutely adored her, she was a great proponent of onions. She used to boil onions in milk, and also of garlic. Before anybody really thought about garlic, she thought it was great for your health, and she was right.
They're recommending garlic. It's good for your immune system around this time. Mm. Are you missing anything, not being able to get out?
Well, not really, because I have my birds. I'm feeding the birds. The only thing is my stock of food is running a bit low, so the poor old birds.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy seeing them. And, of course, they're completely unaware of the fact that there's a fire affecting the humans. They don't care a damn.
A couple of messages coming in there. Hello, David. Great to hear from you. Margaret, another 75-year-old. And yesterday, condescension city out here.
Thank you very much. That's lovely.
Margaret is feeling the condescension. Can you tell Norris thank you? He was very nice to my sister, RIP, in Vincent Hospital about 4 years ago. He called her his pink lady. Thank you. He made her smile. Was that when you were in for your transplant, David?
Yes. I do remember her. My goodness, when I went walking around the hospital, I bumped into her. Yes, yeah. She was an awfully nice woman.
There you go. Well, there's the thank you for you. Thank you for you. So it looks like you're going to be back in the Senate. Congratulations on that. You're feeling well. You sound in great shape.
I'm feeling grand. The only thing is, I have to say, we're getting endless repeats of Midsummer Murders.
Right.
And,
what would you like to see on the
Poirot
telly?
And Marple. So what I'm doing is I'm looking at them again, but I'm ignoring the plot. and I'm just looking at the furniture that they have and the house they live in and the clothes they wear.
Do you have any of the Netflixes or any of that? No.
Will you go way out of that?
No.
Don't you know I'm a technophobe?
Yes, I know you are.
I don't
even
have a computer.
Yeah. Well, I think our colleagues over in TV are changing things and they're bringing back things and all that sort of thing. So keep watching the TV and you'll see maybe something. What would you like to see?
Well, there's some very good things on. They showed the that one about the hotel in India, the Grand...
Magnolia, is it?
Something like that.
Yes, yeah.
It was lovely.
Right.
And I watched again that superb film about Florence Foster Jenkins, which was so wonderfully funny.
Can you remember the name of it? No, you can't remember the name of it, no.
Yes, just called Florence Foster Jenkins.
Oh, there you go.
And the wonderfully funny thing was the accompanist, who actually is in one of the other shows, is in not Friends, the other one, I forget what they call it, The Big Bang Theory. He's a little Jewish one in The Big Bang Theory.
Yes.
He was playing the accompanist, and he controlled his emotion until he got into the lift, and then he got a fit of hysterical laughter.
Right.
He went off down the street, breaking himself laughing. It was hysterically funny. But it was also a beautiful film, because at the end it showed she knew that she was singing off key, but in her heart, she was singing beautiful music and so on and so forth. It was really a tribute to the human spirit.
I'll have to watch
and
that.
And her husband, who was marvellous, played by Hugh something or other, I forget his name. Hugh Laurie, is it? I don't know.
There is a Hugh Laurie. Great to hear David Norris. He's so entertaining, a lovely person. Have him back again soon. Congrats and God bless him. And I've really enjoyed the last couple of days. Mary O'Rourke, Eamon Dunphy and now David Norris. They are irreverent, wise and hilarious. Should be a weekly spot. There you go.
Well, that's very good company to be in.
Yes,
I'm very grateful to. And can I say, I'm sending my love and my very best wishes, and God bless everybody who's in isolation and the people who are looking after them. We're a wonderful, wonderful country.
Well, I can't top that. David Norris, mind yourself, stay safe. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much, Ray. Bye-bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Ray at RTE.ie. Rob in Limerick is new to remote working and listened to the radio, and he wants to know the song played behind the reading of the letter. That's Ludovico Einaudi, an Italian pianist, and the piece is called I Giorni, G-I-O-R-N-I, which is The Days. I just looked up the translation there on my phone. And Lonely Granny says, what a fantastic letter, must wash and dress, get out of my pyjamas and do something positive for myself, not feeling sorry for myself. I had that chat with Jenny today about changing, and I think it's good to do that when you get up, that if you stay in your pyjamas all day, you can get sort of lazy, apathetic, all of those things. So it's good to have sort of marks to signpost changes in the day. Get up, have your breakfast, change. You know, and then you can do whatever you do around the house. And then at the end of the day, you can change back into your pyjamas. I think that's important. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Happy birthday to Indy Dunn from Douro, County Leash, who is one today. And her older brother, Jack, and older sister, Willow. Hope they have a great party. Unfortunately, we, Nanny and Mandad. Yes, Mandad, Brennan, cannot be there. Cheers. I love that, Mandad. Florence Foster Jenkins starred Meryl Streep and Hugh Grant. And Erin Streep, a Best Actress Oscar nomination. Didn't an Irish woman work on the costumes for that? I think she did. I haven't seen it. Highly recommend it from David Norris there. And can you bring back the Roscommon Barber on your show? He was very good to listen to. Dermot, we might talk to Paddy Jo Burke again before this is all over. Now, David Norris mentioned about television and I was mentioning changing in schedules. And I can announce now that from the 20th of April on RT2, Bachelor's Walk returns to our TV screens. Simon Delaney, good afternoon.
Oh, Raymond, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Did you ever think you'd see the day?
20 years later.
Yeah.
and we're going to subject the unsuspecting Irish public on all three series of Bachelor's Walk again. There we are now.
But what? Like, that's the ultimate praise, isn't it? That and such a horrible time when there's so much anxiety around, that people would decide that, well, I tell you what's going to fix this. Well, not fix it, but definitely help it.
Yeah.
Bit of bachelor's walk.
Yeah, I think, do you know what I think, Ray? I think it's that thing of an hour walk down memory lane, because it was 20 years ago when we made this. It was 2000.
Yeah.
And I've said to you many a time since then, Ray, and all the times I've met you, been on the radio, on the telly with you, and, like, there isn't a week, and I'm not just saying this, but there isn't a week that goes by where somebody doesn't mention Bachelor's Walk to me, be it in a queue at a shopping centre or in a taxi or online on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, or where can I get the DVD? I live in Australia, my brother-in-law watches it, I want to send it to him as a present. It's incredible. Like, it literally has stayed with us.
And what was it about it? I know we've had this chat before, but, like, we can go over it again.
Do you know, I think it was one of the first times that Irish audiences saw Dublin on the screen. You know, I know there was Fair City was around and that, but that, you know, didn't lean on locations. You know, that was in the studio, but it was the first time that people kind of saw, you know, the Quays and Temple Bar and all around the north side of Dublin. And I think somebody said that. You know, Dublin was the fourth star of the show. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I remember one journalist at the time writing, he said, I live in Bachelor's Walk. He said, but I wish I lived in their Bachelor's Walk. It looks like Paris, you know what I mean? It just caught the imagination. And also, I think then the three central characters, everybody had a mate like one of them.
Yeah.
Everybody knew someone like Raymond or knew someone like Michael or like Barry. And people just connected with it, and because it was only written originally as one series, as a once-off, but it was that popular with punters and also with the critics, which is a rare beast altogether to get the both of those right. That RT said we'll do a second one and a third one, and we ended up shooting it over three summers, which were just brilliant. Sure, it wasn't work at all, right? We were sitting in Mulligan's drinking pints at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know what I mean?
Were they real pints?
I clearly I can't comment on something like that, but let's just say that there were often lunchtime naps taken in the various dressing rooms. You'd have to knock fairly hard to wake us up, but we had great crack making it. And sure, look, it's like everything. If the base material is good, you're on a winner. And the scripts were brilliant, and John Carney, Kieran Carney and Tom Hall, who wrote them and directed them, they just did a brilliant job weaving these three storylines in over the 3 years. It was great crack to make, you know.
And of course, John Carney has gone on to greater and greater things.
He has, yeah. He's gone on to, he did Once the Musical, and he did Begin Again, and he's just done a big series for Sony TV in the States. And
I mean, it's a modern love. We watched a few of them. They're great. Like,
That's brilliant. And I believe he's doing the second series of them now as well.
Right.
So, I mean, everyone, like, it's hard to believe it was 20 years ago, Ray.
Yeah. I mean, this is an embarrassing question for you, but you know, people won't know who aren't in the acting profession about residuals. Is that what they're called?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Will there be residuals?
Well, no, I'm taking advice from my legal counsel on that, Ray, and I can't comment on that. I give a typical actor's answer and I'll say, I haven't got a clue, Ray.
Well, just for people who don't know, residuals are...
not a clue, yeah.
No, when something is reshown, the actors get paid, not the full fee again, obviously, they get a percentage of what
you
they would have got
originally. You would. Well, typically that would happen in the States or the UK. It doesn't happen a lot here, but I don't know, to be fair, to be honest with you. I'd have to go through an awful lot of shoeboxes to try and find the contract from there, Ray. I think it was written in quill and ink. It was that long ago, you know.
So your lads wouldn't have seen it, would they?
My boys wouldn't have seen it. My eldest is only 13, so it would be a bit of an education for them when they see it. Because
and you've never sat them down and forced them to watch it. I mean, invited them to watch it. No.
Well, see, if you remember what my character got up to, Ray, I don't think I'd let them watch it.
No, exactly.
You know what I mean?
How are they getting on? Four boys.
That grand. Look, it's like every other household in the country, Ray. It's tough, and it's getting tougher. You know,
It is, isn't it? It is getting tougher.
Jesus, it is. It's not easy now. It's not even the schooling thing. You know, the schooling thing is fine. I think it's important for parents as well to realise that, and we got an email from one of the schools that the lads is in to say, look, don't stretch yourself over. Don't sit them there from 9 o'clock till 2:30 every day. You know, yes, try and keep a routine, but get as much as you can do done. Like, we're not teachers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're also trying to, those of us that can, work from home as well, plus you're trying to feed them and go out to the shops. And the hard part for them is just not being able to go out
and
seeing their pals. And and gone over and seen their nanny. You know what I mean? I heard David Norris talking about the art of letter writing. That's, I couldn't encourage that more. One of my kids sent a letter to their nanny last week, and she loved getting it.
Yes,
you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And on post had that great little scheme, the free post little scheme.
Brilliant idea.
It's tough, but look, at we're doing it for a reason. We're trying, you know, when I say we, I mean everybody in Ireland, we're doing it because we have to try and save lives.
And I think we are. I think we are. And that's, you know, and more people will die, obviously. But we are saving lives. People have to know that.
Well, that's true. I mean,
by doing what we're doing, we're saving lives.
We are. And yeah. I think that's really sunk home now in the last sort of 7 days. You know, I mean, the novelty of the schools being closed kind of wore off by the following Monday when they closed on the Friday, you know. But
yeah.
I think then the following weekend when there were still people out, you know, taking their walks and congregating on beaches and all that, like, they weren't doing it out of spite, everybody. You know, they were just doing it because maybe it hadn't sunk in, but I think it's sunk in now. You only got to look at what's happening across the rest of the world,
yeah,
right?
And Italy and Spain.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
States,
my God, yeah. This country's been destroyed by it. So, yeah. You know, we just have to do it for the greater good, and that's to protect everybody else.
And are you cooking a lot at home? Because
Jesus. Well, the boys are at home now. I mean, I think we have 8 different meal settings now at this stage.
Oh, you don't?
Pre-breakfast, breakfast,
oh,
post-breakfast,
right.
And pre-lunch, lunch, post-lunch, pre-dinner, dinner, post-dinner, pre-supper, supper, post-supper, and then bedtime. I think I've done more dishes than the Shelburne's done all year. Do you know what I mean? It's unbelievable, right? Jesus. I'd be expected to be invited to the Christmas party at Brendan's Bread now at this rate. I've bought so much bread. It's unbelievable.
Do you find that you're eating stuff that you wouldn't normally eat? Like, we had...
eating the same stuff.
No, we had chomp with sausages and gravy last night.
You had what?
Chomp. You know, chomp. Is that what they call it? Chomp.
Champ.
Champ, is it? Champ.
Chomp is a bar of chocolate. I was thinking, geez, I know you're from Kildare, but a bar of chocolate with sausages and mash?
Champ, is it? It's sort of scallions.
Champ, it's a Northern Ireland
dish. Is it?
Really.
Right, there you go. You're the chef.
It would like a bit of spring onion normally through the potato.
That's
or
it.
There's variations on it.
That's it. We did the spring onion. I called them scallions with the potato.
Well, you called
loads
it
of butter.
Champ a minute ago. Yeah, that's where you were. Yeah, no, we're cooking away and trying to get the kids doing a bit of baking and all that kind of stuff. And it's just really trying to burn a couple of hours during the day, right?
That's it,
you know?
That's it.
And I have to say, while I'm here, you know, that 1 hour that RTE are doing every morning, the homeschooling, is fantastic.
Brilliant.
I know a couple of the people involved in it, and they're doing a great job. And my 8-year-old and 3-year-old are sitting down and watching it every morning and doing their singing with them and doing their exercises. So it's great. So, you know, credit where it's due.
Yeah, yeah. And you're on the telly then at the weekend?
Yeah, do you know what? I've been called a lot of things in my life, right, but I've never been called essential before. But apparently we're essential.
Essential.
I've got a letter and all now to say I'm essential, right? Yeah, so, listen, thankfully we're still going to work. And do you know what, Ray? It's such, no more than what you're doing today and all the broadcasters, as best they can, working away. We're keeping people company, Ray.
Yeah.
You know, the amount of messages that we get on Friday, Saturday and Sunday at home saying, listen, thanks for keeping us company. I'm on my own in the house and your familiar faces and you give us a bit of a giggle even though it's tough times. So, yeah, thank God we've been deemed essential so we can still go to work, you know.
So that's Ireland AM.
Exactly, yeah.
And Virgin Media 1. I was nearly going to say TV3.
Well, you didn't, though. It's the main thing.
Yeah, listen, mind yourself. Can I just tell people, Bachelor's Walk, it's 20th of April on Terrestrial TV.
Very good.
And then you can watch on the RT player as from now. You can stream it away there if you want to.
And listen, Ray, can I just do a very quick... My sister-in-law, Mary Claire O'Sullivan, it's her birthday tomorrow. We obviously won't get over to see her, so I just wanted to wish her a big happy birthday from all the gang out in Lusk.
Right. Simon Delaney. Mind yourself, stay safe.
Look after yourself,
good luck,
stay safe,
bye.
God bless.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551 for texts or ray@rte.ie for emails. Tina Farrell is looking forward to seeing Bachelor's Walk back on the telly. She's a big fan of Simon Delaney. Lovely, funny guy, she says. I turned 70 on Monday, says another texter, and now have to cocoon. Although I couldn't go out, I had family members stand outside to sing happy birthday to me. Thanks to Unpost, I had so many cards delivered. I spent most of the day on the phone receiving birthday wishes. What a brilliant day. And to finish it off, my husband Frank cooked a delicious meal. We had lovely cake left on my doorstep by one of my daughters and presents also on the doorstep. I miss my family. I miss my beautiful grandchildren, but I know we will soon be together. I'm in awe of all the frontline workers. Words are not enough. We're so lucky. That's Yvonne in Glasnevin. Happy birthday, Yvonne, and mind yourself. Now, Maya Dunphy is going to be sitting in front of her computer in her wedding dress tonight. Hiya, Maya.
Hiya, Ray. How are you?
Good. Explain yourself.
Oh, Ray, these are surreal times we're living in, aren't they?
And yes.
But at least, you know, nature's getting a chance to heal itself. I saw wild dolphins in the canal yesterday and I heard a giraffe walk past my window. And if I see one more of those memes with animals that never existed in those places, we are all losing our minds, Ray. We need a little bit of normality or even a bit of craziness. But here's the thing. I am not someone who goes to fancy dress parties. I don't subscribe to this kind of enforced merriment. I never have. But these are strange times, and they call for even stranger measures. And it was, to be honest, it was a joke. I was bored, and I was so sick of retweeting more COVID-19 suggestions and more advice for what to do at home with your kids. So I said, hey, who's got their wedding dress still at home? Who fancies putting them on and doing a cocktail party? And then suddenly it just caught fire. And within a day, I think I had 1,500 replies and likes saying, yeah, we're on for that, we're on for that. So, I mean, what we didn't know is that wedding clothes apparently shrink every year in your wardrobe.
Do they? I didn't know that.
It must be a temperature thing. Because a lot of zips aren't going up and a lot of buttons aren't going up. But, you know, we're gonna, I said, drape them over your shoulders.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a whole nation of Miss Havishams, and some men too. And lots of people suddenly shared quite personal stories saying, well, actually, my fiancé ran out on me. I've never worn the dress. Like, well, wear it tonight. Wear your dad's dress. Wear your bridesmaid's dress. Men, welcome to you. Wear a mother of the bride. So we're having a hashtag wedding smashers evening on Twitter tonight.
Hashtag wedding smashers. Hashtag wedding smashers. Right.
It was going to be my big fat quarantine wedding, but that's just too many letters and we don't have the time for that. So I'm not sure what it's going to be. But you know what? It's something. We need stuff to kind of stagger our days now because the days are becoming very monotonous. So if it's taking out a fancy dress and sticking it on, going onto Twitter with a cup of tea or a glass of wine, choose your poison, and I'm going to share people's pictures, share their stories. I'm going to go on Twitter live, chat to a few people. No more than half an hour. You know, we've all got things to be doing. Oh, no, we don't have things to be doing.
No, we don't.
But, you know, that's the idea. So, okay, really, so I don't really know, but we'll see.
I'll read out your original tweet so people will know. Who still got their wedding dress stashed away? Who fancies a wedding dress cocktail house party? Bridesmaids also welcome. Deb's dress is also welcome. Just stick some flowers in your head and come join the party. So that was it. And you just put it up as a joke. And now it's real. It's real.
It's grown legs.
So then this is last night you said. Go on, I'll just read this. So that this was supposed to be a joke, but let's do it. Tomorrow, Wedding's Day at 7:30, don your wedding dress, bridesmaid ensemble, mother of the bride get up, or just come as guest. Take a photo, add the hashtag wedding smashers, so I can retweet, just come as guest. Take a photo, I've read that. Retweet them, fix a hard or soft drink, and we'll have a laugh. Also, there's no wedding list, as we all have enough toasters and towels. So if you can afford it, text Daffodil to 50300 to donate €4 to the Irish Cancer Society. Which is lovely.
Well, I thought, why not put a charity element in there? If people can afford it, I mean, some people aren't working at the moment, myself included, it's not easy. But if you can afford it, nobody wants another toaster or some linen. So text Daffodil to 50300. And, you know, Daffodil Day was really, really affected this year. So we might raise a few quid for them as well.
Okay.
And I have the theme tune as well.
Go on, what is it?
Self-isolation and celebration. I really am losing my mind, Ray.
Well, mind yourself. We'll talk again before this is over because I
Thanks,
want to
Ray.
Talk to
Take
you about
care.
You know your situation and all that. But good luck tonight. Hashtag wedding smashers. Women all over the country in their wedding dresses, Deb's dresses, bridesmaids' dresses, joining
and men too.
Maya
Come
Dunphy.
On, everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome. We'll see you there.
I've never. Should I? Would I? Maybe I shouldn't. Would I ask Jenny, could I wear her? No, I won't. Okay, right. No.
After all that chomp you've been eating, I'm not sure you'd fit into it.
That's it. It's champ, don't you know? It's champ.
I know, I was
Yes, I know. I know you were. Maya Dunphy, thank you very much. Good luck tonight. Enjoy
you,
it. See you.
Take
bye.
Care.
Bye.
Stay safe. Bye.
Bye. Anish Toshinam, the Fiv Skelton, and Noctila, Marini Hulawan. Gurma, good Marion. 515-51 Ray at RTE.ie. Bird Jungle Pet Store deliver or send all types of bird food and supplies, including wild bird, nationwide. They can be contacted on that phone number, 453-4919, and you can pass on our details to Senator Norris so he can feed his birds. Thanks so much for that, Bird Jungle Pet Store. Forget about the collection of video messages. Do another Us book. Have the last two. Can't count the number of times I've scanned the books down the years. Love them, says Catherine. Thanks for that, Catherine. Well, we'll have chats about it. We will have chats about it. If you can wish Esther a happy birthday today, Wednesday 1st, from husband Jim, children Andrew, Connor and Carol, plus grandchildren Sive, Murren and CJ. Kildare is still in lockdown since we lost the All-Ireland to Galway in 1998. Oh yeah, Gurumagud, Slonga Falls, says that person. And I would like to wish a happy birthday to Nancy Carey from Roscrea, 80 today. Happy birthday, Nancy. That's from Angela and family. My sister-in-law Maura, my daughter-in-law April, and a friend Karen all have birthdays today. You see, April was called after the month. Great if you gave them a mention. That's Millie and Gorey. So happy birthday to Maura, April and Karen. And say hello to me in Tremor. I've been sick the last 3 weeks and feeling very sorry for myself. And hubby was 70 on Monday. That's Bridget Keeley or Kylie out in the sticks in Tremor. Mind yourself, Bridget, and happy birthday to your hubby. We're cocooning. Signed into our grandchild's ninth birthday party via Zoom. Learning something new every day. Re-technology. Happy birthday, Kira Royley. Nana, Nina, Grandad and Jerry. We had a Zoom meeting today. Yes, we did. David O'Sullivan was there and Niamh Hassel and Niamh Hamill and Fiona Donnellan and Maeve Mooney and Neil O'Doherty. I was coming to them all. I know them all. Very productive, very productive. And I would imagine that the other side of this, people will find new ways to do their work. I'm not saying that we will, but some people will. So Zoom is an app and you can talk to loads of people and you see their faces and all that sort of thing. And originally it was set up for meetings, but now people are using it socially. Okay, it's that time of the day. Yes, it's time for the All-Ireland Quiz. All 32 counties, if you want to see the first round draw, it's up there, rte.ie. We're on day 8. Da, 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 da. General knowledge quiz, 5 questions, final question. Our players have an option to go for a goal, which is worth 3 points, or a 1 point question. Dun, 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 dun. You can register interest if your county hasn't been up already at allirelandquiz.ie. Sorry, I'll start that again. allirelandquiz@rte.ie. allirelandquiz@rte.ie. Today is the turn of Tyrone and Carlo, and we say good afternoon to Garrod Mackel and Ben Burb in Tyrone. How are you doing, Garrod?
I'm very well, Ray. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
And you?
Yeah, you're working from home, I believe.
I'm doing my best, Ray, yeah, just trying to mix all the various components together. Thank God for Zoom. Just heard you mention it a couple of moments ago. I think only for Zoom the world would have collapsed entirely.
Yeah. Do you know what I was thinking? And you might know the answer to this, Garrod. How are they monetizing? How are they making money out of us using their app?
I wonder, have they temporarily given up on the monetization of something just for this brief period, Ray?
Maybe they have.
I'd be sceptical about that or how long that would last in the long term. But I imagine once they get us all on and into the way of going, then they'll find numerous ways of
getting our money.
Claw a few pennies out of us for it, yeah.
And what were you doing? What sort of work are you doing from home now?
I work in the Irish language development sector. So it consists of, I suppose, getting our annual accounts ready at this stage. It's an opportune time to catch up on all those things I've been procrastinating about for the past few weeks and months. Lots and lots of paperwork and admin, right? And then several meetings during the week in order to keep in touch with all our colleagues.
Who else is at home, Garrod?
I have my partner, Mary, and my son, Saran.
Right. And how was he coping with not meeting his mates and all that?
He was doing quite well for the first week or so and established a great routine. And he's still following the routine. He's doing his schoolwork for several hours a day. He's self-disciplining. Then we do a little bit of exercise in the evening. But he did say this last few days, it's getting a little bit tough looking at the same two faces all the time.
Yeah, Groundhog Day was described in our house last night.
Uh, he's getting a little bit itchy about it now. I think whenever it was announced that it may go on for a prolonged period, it gives the kids something really to think about, you know, just how long they're going to have to endure this.
But we're adaptable. Human beings are adaptable, and he'll work it out for himself, and we will get out the other side.
Kids more so than adults, I would say. They adapt very, very quickly. Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever represented your county at anything before, Garrod?
I have. It's a long, long way back. I was called for a trial for the Tyrone County Miners whenever I was 16.
Yay! Right. There you go. Right.
So I have. Yeah. This is me rejoining battle again on behalf of Tyrone GAA.
Okay. Great. You're up against Shane Gallagher from Bagnallstown in County Carlow. How are you doing, Shane?
Hey. How are you keeping?
Good.
How are you, Shane?
Have you ever represented your county at anything, Shane?
Never, no. I just scratched my head thinking that other gentleman with his great accent up there from Tyrone has done a lot more representation than I have, I'm
right.
afraid.
Okay, well, he's represented at one level, that's all. What's your story, Shane? What are you up to?
Well, I'm a Donegal man originally living down here, but 30 years or so at this stage, but I'm a teacher in secondary school down here, so we're going cabin crazy around here at this stage.
Yeah, and are you giving classes from your home?
Yeah. We're using as much technology as we can. The education companies have been great. They're giving us all free books to all the kids in the country for the crisis, I suppose. So there's a lot of resources and materials to keep them busy.
Yeah. And what technology? Does every school use the same technology, or does it depend on the school?
No, we're using Google Classroom most of the time. It's the one we've had for quite a while, and all the kids are really familiar with it. But I know other ones are using other Microsofts and stuff as well. So
yeah.
The one we have is very, the kids love it. It's very user-friendly and it's very intuitive.
And so can they see you when you give the class?
No, that's the whole point. GDPR means all those things is a bit of an issue, really. But we couldn't be putting on videos with kids showing up in their pyjamas in the mornings and stuff, so we have to not use faces.
Aha, right.
So it makes it challenging, really, you know.
Yeah, so you're history and religion.
That's it, yeah.
My daughter said to me today, religion is the easiest subject ever.
Oh, it's not the easiest to teach, I can tell you.
Right, yeah. Well, your challenges and changing times, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, the kids are great, and it's great to form minds as well as academic stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So what's your, you've two children. What stage are they at?
Well, Anna is 18 and she's waiting to do her leaving cert, actually, so the anxiety is there. It's the unknown of what's going to happen next. She's looking forward to our oral exams and so on, and they're all passed now. So, and then Daniel's in first year. He's not too bothered. The first year is a great time, but the pressure isn't on. So
Anna, what do you think's going to happen, Shane?
It's very hard to tell, to be honest. They're promising lots. They're promising that they'll try and do the best that they can for the students who put on all the hard work. And I know that they will, but it's hard to know how it's going to get done before the summer.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a stressful time anyway, as you know, as a dad and a teacher. And this is just adding extra stress onto it, yeah.
It is. And I just hope they don't go down the road of trying to give people just marks on what they've done for the 2 years, because, I mean, they've put a lot of work in and they deserve to get a good shot at good or best.
Oh, so they deserve to have their day in an exam hall, so to speak.
Yeah, that's what they're gearing up for, kind of. So,
yeah, what would you think is the best thing to do?
Yeah, I'd say apart from the college, as I said, the college makes it difficult. But I think at some stage during the summer they should organise to get as much as they can in terms of the written paper done as they can.
Right. Okay. Yeah, mad times. Okay, now, Garrod Mackle is taking on Shane Gallagher. Tyrone is Garrod's county. Will you stand up for your county anthem, please? Garrod, here we go.
And the fortune I would seek the most, you all must understand, is to win the heart of Martha, the flower of sweet Strabane.
Do you find that a lot of these county anthems sound the same?
I love that, Ray, but around here we still consider the mountains of Pomroy as our county anthem.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry, we'll get it out.
If you get
through, we'll dig it out. Okay, Shane Gallagher, stand up for this one.
Curses well, Lord Kildare, faith will do what faith will dare. Never fit swim, have a care, for falling is your star low. But with halberd, hilt, with sword, on we go, for by the Lord, Faith McHugh has given the word, follow me up to Carlow.
Okay, lads, we can't delay it any longer. Good luck to you both, Garrod and Shane. Let's get a bit of tension going. 5 questions each, and when we get to the 5th question, you can go for a goal question or a point question. So, Garrod, a question on Carlow for you. How many counties border County Carlow? 5, 6 or 7?
5
is the correct answer. Leash, Kildare, Wicklow, Wexford and Kilkenny. That's a good start. Shane, similar question for you. How many other counties border County Tyrone? 3, 4 or 5?
4, I'd say.
It's 5. Fermanagh, Monaghan, Donegal, Derry and Armagh. Okay, early days. No need to fret quite yet. Garrod, how do bats navigate? Sight, sound or feel?
Sound
is the correct answer. Shane, which of these does not have a brain? Butterfly, cod or starfish?
Starfish
is the correct answer. That's a tricky one, isn't it? That's a tricky question.
Yeah,
good question. Now, Garrod, the number 500 is expressed in which Roman numeral? M, D or C?
D.
D is the correct answer. Shane, the number 50 is expressed in which Roman numeral? X, L or V?
L.
Is the correct answer. You been a teacher, would have been embarrassed if you got that wrong.
Yeah.
Audio question up next. Question 4. You're on 3, Garrod. Shane, you're on 2. Can you name this Scottish band, please?
Simple Mind.
Simple Mind is the correct answer, Garrod. Well done.
Thank you.
Righty-ho. 4 out of 4. Shane, audio question for you. Can you name this Scottish band, please? That there?
The Proclaimers.
Is the correct answer. Right. There we go. Right. Now, here we are, Garrod.
Yeah.
You have a choice now in your final question. You can go for a goal question, which is valued at 3 points. Or you can go for a point question. The maths on it are as follows. You're on 4. If you get the 1 point question right, you'll be on 5. Then it offers Shane the opportunity to go for a 3-pointer and win. However, if you go for the 3-pointer and get it right, obviously Shane can't beat you. So there's your options. What are you going to go for?
I'll go for under the crossbar, right? I'll go for the goal.
Go for the goal. Okay, good luck with this. It all depends on this question. It's a geography question, as it happens. Which of these Irish counties is largest by area? Kilkenny, Wexford, Meath or Wicklow?
Could you give me them again, right?
Yes. Which of these Irish counties is largest by area? I'll need an answer after this. Kilkenny, Wexford, Meath or Wicklow? Kilkenny, Wexford, Meath or Wicklow?
I'll try Wexford.
Is the correct answer? Yes. It's 2,367 square kilometres. Kilkenny's next, then Meath and then Wicklow. That's a good answer. That's a good answer.
Thanks.
Which brings you up to 7 points. Shane, you can't catch him.
No bother. Well done, Garrod.
Condolences, Shane, here. Well played. Thank you.
Yeah, you did well, Shane. You did well. On another day, it would have been good enough to win. We're going to send you out a Ray Darcy Show mug.
Fantastic. Looking forward to getting it.
To cherish and drink your tea out of. Mind yourself and good luck to Anna in whatever happens in the future. Thanks very much, Shane. Garrod Mackle.
Cheers, Shane.
Garrod Mackle, well done. You and Tyrone are through to the second round.
So we'll
be talking to you next week or the week after some stage. Mind yourself and stay
looking
safe.
Looking forward to it, right?
See you, Garrod.
Take care,
bye. Show on RTE Radio 1. Tomorrow's the turn of Louth and Kilkenny. It's an all Leinster affair. If you're from Louth or Kilkenny, if you were born or lived there and you want to be involved, you can express interest at the allirelandquiz@rte.ie. That's the email address, allirelandquiz@rte.ie. Louth and Kilkenny tomorrow. Now, is it everybody or some of you will be receiving a letter from the CSO next week? And to tell us why, we have Mary Whiteley from the Central Statistics Office on the line. How are you doing, Mary?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good.
Good.
You need help.
We do, actually, Ray. Thank you very much for taking my call. And just in the ads there leading into me talking to you, I just heard everybody looking for, you know, help with different things in relation to COVID-19.
Yes.
And the CSO, I suppose, are no different. The labour force survey is carried out on a weekly basis. Well, we interviewers call out to people, selected people, on a weekly basis, gathering information in relation to employment and unemployment. And in these challenging times, it's very difficult to collect this information as well, which is really important, obviously, for planning. So I just gave a call to say that next week, as I said, they normally call door to door, but given the situation we're at the moment, they can call out.
Yes.
So letters are being posted out to selected people to gather this information in relation to their employment and unemployment. And there's been huge changes in the last 3 weeks, as we well know.
Unfortunately,
and up to 3 weeks ago, we were announcing the great news that we're in full employment. But now all we're hearing is the amount of people that are losing their jobs.
Yeah.
So my plea is just asking people, if you receive a letter, if you wouldn't mind contacting the person on the letter, and they will run through a series of questions which are very appropriate, and there are COVID-19 questions in it as well, to see how our lives are being affected by the situation. I mean, obviously, some people are worse than others because they've lost their jobs.
Yes, and so, loved ones. Some people have lost loved ones.
And lost
as well,
loved ones. Yeah. I mean, people are suffering in so many ways.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know it's difficult to talk to somebody on a phone asking very, very
personal
tough
questions
and personal questions.
Yeah.
But I can only guarantee that this information is critical for planning.
And it's important that people know, because they're hearing you on the radio now, that it's official. So certain people around the country will receive a letter from the CSO. Crucial information has been gathered, and they would love if you cooperated by making the call to the person and answering a few questions. So that's the message.
And it is. And it's on official headed paper.
Yes.
There will be a code on the letter that you can make reference back to. There's telephone numbers on the letter that you can call. If you're anyway concerned about talking to somebody, there is a number that you can call to verify that the person is authentic. And
so when you say it'll only be selected people, so it's a sample of people,
is it? It's a sample, exactly.
And this information will be drawn on for years to come, and historians will be looking back and drawing on this information when they're discussing, you know, the COVID-19 crisis of 2020.
Like, yeah. Exactly. And the labour force is produced every quarter. The information, the results are produced. And, I mean, obviously the government use them, businesses use them, decision makers use them. It's used nationally and locally. It's actually such
important information.
Valuable
information. And Mary, are you working from home? You are?
I am.
And do you always work from home, or is it a new thing for you?
No, it's totally new for me. It's totally new for me.
And how are you getting on?
Well, it's difficult. It's very difficult because I work with a team of people, and they're the people who are out there knocking on the doors.
Yes.
And they're finding it very difficult at the moment as well, because they can't do their work.
Yeah.
But I know they're very friendly people, and I know they will be kind. And in actual fact, when they ring, if the time doesn't suit, because I know people are minding elderly, they're minding children, they're minding families, they're worried about their jobs, they can pick a time that suits them to ring back. And I guarantee that the staff from the CSO will be very kind and
understanding. Mary, mind yourself, stay safe.
Thank you, Ray.
Thanks.
And thank
Bye
you
now.
For giving me the chance to talk. Thank you very
pleasure.
Much indeed.
Bye now. That's
and
Mary
Whiteley
there.
Bye-bye.
From the Central Statistics Office. Emma Gleeson is on the line, and I would imagine that skip companies around the country are doing good business as a result of this, because people are clearing out their house. How are you doing, Emma?
Hi there, Ray. Thanks for having me.
Stuff Happens Emma. That's your Instagram.
That is me.
And you're an expert on all things sort of decluttering and householdy things. So what's we don't have much, we've about 5 minutes now. So for people who are listening, who have time in their hands and they're going to attack the various rooms in the house that they've been meaning to attack for the last 10 years and they want to declutter, what's your advice to them?
Okay, well, if we only have 5 minutes, I'll get straight to it. The hardest part of decluttering are the items that provoke a guilt or a feeling of kind of, oh, I should be using that, or I shouldn't have spent money on that. You know, all the difficult decisions that really trip us up. So what I would say to people, if you're doing the declutter, stay with those difficult decisions. Say, okay, look, if I spent money on this and I don't use it, try and unpick that guilt and be able to let it go. You know, the money's not coming back to you. It's going to go. If it's exercise equipment or, you know, clothing that you wish you could still get into or whatever, again, it's about guilt. It can bring up all sorts of emotions, and we're all in a high state of alertness.
And it's embarrassment as well. How did I think that was a good idea to pay that much money for that joke?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's an interesting time for someone like me because I feel like the way we shop and the way we consume things is going to change after all this upheaval. I hope, you know, a lot of my work is about trying to teach people to stop the clutter coming into their house in the first place, you know, to go to the source. How did the stuff arrive? It arrived because you bought the stuff.
Yeah.
So a big part of my job is to coach people into more mindful shopping. And I really hope that people will maybe change their patterns when we come out of this madness and this very stressful time. So, yeah, try and use it as a time to assess what do you really need. And I've seen so much on social media of people expressing that gratitude for the things that they have and sort of appreciating the small things. And I think that's something that can be part of your decluttering journey, is saying, God, I bought all this stuff. Why did I buy it? I think people are finally seeing what's important in life.
So they can do, I see what you're saying now, they can do an audit on their buying habits, their consuming habits.
I mean, my philosophy is that, you know, decluttering without looking at your shopping habits is like doing a crash diet. You know, without looking at your lifestyle.
Oh, your lifestyle, yes. So you need to mindfully do it. You need to mindfully declutter.
And look after yourself. Decluttering can be very emotional because there's embarrassment and guilt. So take breaks, be good to yourself, and take your time.
And what about, say, the kitchen counter with all those sort of bills and various things in to one side and envelopes, and or maybe a sitting room that has, you know, a coffee table and then there's a sideboard on the side and everything has little piles of stuff around it. How do you start to attack that?
They're what we call in the business, they're your clutter hotspots.
They're your clutter hotspots, right?
Clutter hotspots, the places that clutter kind of finds a way into. And again, this could be a good time for people, especially as all their families are in the house so they can all talk to each other, to assess, you know, what are the kind of the patterns that we operate in? Why does all the stuff end up here? You know, can we do it in a different way? Can we try and reconfigure where things are dumped? If things are ending up in a certain place all the time, maybe a good way would be to have some sort of storage box or equipment that could make it look a bit nicer. It's very hard to change people's behaviour, especially at this stressful time.
So, and then do you have to seek permission as well? Because most of us are lucky enough to live with other people. We share the space with them. And, you know, and I think I've heard you say this, but like my clutter is somebody else's valued items.
Yes, it's really difficult, and relationships can be strained. I have had clients whose spouses have been very unhappy with their decisions. Unfortunately, you have to give way to the fact that different people have different ways of organising. So some people are very micro. They want everything in very specific categories and, you know, drawers to be very, very neat. Other people are more macro-minded. This is a psychological thing. It's not the badness of the person. It's just the way their mind works.
The way we're built, yeah.
So you know the Marie Kondo, the Japanese woman, she's very into, you know, quite micro, you know, folding your socks. And for me personally, even though I'm a decluttering professional, that doesn't work for me. Just not the way my mind works. So it's about having empathy for the people you share your space with and meeting them where they are without it causing too much conflict. Like I said, it's a heightened time. We're all on top of each other. So if you're trying to do a declutter and people are getting upset with each other, just try and be kind to each other. And
here's an idea. I have an idea. I don't know if this works for people, but I'm going to arrange my books and my CDs in alphabetical order. And as I go through them, then I'll know which ones I want and which I don't want. Because sometimes when you look at something, a mass of something, it's too overwhelming.
So and you get so accustomed to seeing, you know, all our possessions, they can stay in the one place for years and years and years, especially things like books. And even in our wardrobes, you know, the way the clothes that we don't wear, they stay there untouched for years and years and years. Yes. And you almost can't even go there because you're kind of afraid to rock the system.
Use this opportunity to declutter. Emma Gleeson, we will talk to you again. Sorry, we've run out of time.
Thanks, no worries.
Stuff happens, Emma. There you go on Instagram. That's it from us. Francesca Melandri is the name of that woman who wrote that letter that I read at the beginning. If you're looking to find it, if you've just put it into Google, you will find it. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Stay safe, mind yourselves, and if you can, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening.